now you see it and now you don't. If you miss the picture opportunity, sorry. Okay, it's great to be together. It's a fun time of the year. I think I can walk around and you can hear me. You know, they've been playing Christmas music since the first week in November. That gets a little annoying, but now I like it. I'm into it now. What are some things you enjoy about Christmas?
Interact today. Nobody enjoys any. Yes, Lucy.
Getting together with family,
right?
Yeah, getting together with
family. Were you going to say something different, Jess? You had your hand up too?
I need food and fellowship.
Food and fellowship.
This is opportunity to give and also receive.
Opportunity to give and receive.
Watching the kids open presents.
Kids open presents.
Waking up early Christmas morning before anyone's up and going snowboarding and nobody's out now.
Yeah, amen. That's a unique thing to some people. No, amen. And I did mention the kids are in here today except for the preteens. And what else? Christmas. Yes.
Our warm weather in the year, we have a tradition to spend Christmas in the Dominican Republic.
So you're looking forward to going to the warm place for Christmas. Oh.
Decorations,
yeah.
Going to grandma's house.
That's us now. It's awesome. Yes.
Much more,
yeah. Anybody got a? Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, people in general seem more inclined towards relationships and wanting to be cheerful.
Yeah. Anybody have a family tradition you want to share? Tara just shared hers. That was awesome. That's awesome. Snowboarding. Yes, Tommy.
Yeah, on Christmas Day, me and my family we go to breakfast at Randolph Diner every Christmas, and we also go to see a movie.
Awesome. The new improved Randolph Diner. We went there last Sunday for the first time in a long time. Bruce?
We go out the first weekend after Thanksgiving and cut down a Christmas tree and bring it home.
Awesome. This is the place where it's legal to do that.
Yes, not in the neighborhood.
No, it's just in the neighborhood. Awesome. Yes. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, a couple more. Yes, back there, Lisa.
I have to share this. Doing gingerbread cookies with the Smith brothers on Christmas Eve and
Awesome. John.
We have a bit of a competitive threat
in my home.
But we have a special request in the Santa, and he individually wraps everything in the stocking so he can guess what's inside of
the Yes. Yeah, Floyd.
So when I was a kid, me and my brother would be allowed to open up one present on Christmas night. And now that I'm a parent, I see that was more of a strategy than a tradition on my parents' part.
Yeah. Sure, Christmas of, I think it was 1968, we were engaged. I made Mary Lou this stocking. And it's about this tall. And there was stuff, decorations glued on it and stuff. I didn't know what I was doing. It was just, I was young and in love. And now I'm older than love. It's awesome. But the top was stuff that's deteriorated. Anyway, Santa fills it still every year. And this is kind of a fun tradition. He has to get more and more creative as we get older. But amen. Well, let's look at John 1 for a minute before we take communion together in just a few moments. It is a special time of the year. You know, I guess I always kind of give a little disclaimer that the New Testament doesn't necessarily authorize specifically celebrating Jesus' birth. I don't think it's the wrong thing to do. What we celebrate every Sunday is Jesus' death and resurrection. But obviously his birth is important. Maybe show me a book. We have this marvelous book, Jesus Through Mideastern Eyes. Some of you may have that book, but man, he lived in the Middle East a long time. And just some of the misconceptions that have come through the years about the whole thing. But the reality is, for he was born, and it was a special time. The angels sang in the heavens, and the Son of God came to earth. And we read about it in Luke, we read about it in Matthew. It's interesting because John and Mark just really, Mark just begins with Jesus being on the scene. And John sets it up a little bit differently, but it's still a different nativity scenes, so forth. So somewhat. In John 1, the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, He was with God in the beginning. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. And then this powerful, for it goes on, he was involved in having everything being made. This very powerful sentence in verse 14. The Word became flesh. And Lord is dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. There are so many lessons in that sentence, so many sermons. And I got about three or four here, but we won't do them all today. The Word became flesh. When you think about the profound impact, the profound decision, the decision Jesus made. We won't necessarily take a lot of time to share the specifics. You know, does anybody have, I just asked for a show of hand. Does anybody have anything you need to do this week that you're not looking forward to? honestly, God. It's a time of good cheer, and it's a time of a little stress sometimes. There's all that stuff that needs to get done. Some of it, wouldn't you avoid it if you could? We won't ask for a show of hands. Some of it's labor's up. Yeah, I mean, we sort of have a choice. We sort of don't have a choice. Jesus had a choice. In coming to this earth, I don't want to be patronizing anybody, but no matter what you have to do this week, it can't compare with his coming to this earth. And living the life he lived and dying the death he died. The Word became flesh and dwelt a while among us. Before we take communion, let's share just a few minutes. Why are you personally glad he came to this earth? I hope it's kind of an obvious question, but why are you personally glad he came to this earth, somebody? Why are you glad he came?
Mark.
Shows us who God is. That's a real significant concept. The Word became flesh, the deity of God in bodily form. He was tempted in all ways that we are, yet without sin, just to show us who God is. What else? Why are you glad? Yes, Gloria.
Well, the more I get to learn about Jesus, I appreciate the fact that he came down to earth to set an example.
Okay.
And that's something that I learned from the
Gave us the opportunity to go to heaven, yes. Who's the, Nora.
It shows that God understands that we need grace and truth. Amen.
Right.
And all the
truth. Yeah.
This is not the end goal. There's another.
Yeah, that's a little phrase in there, grace and truth. Wow. We could just talk about that a long time, but Jesus showing us that. James?
Yeah, I think for me personally, probably the hardest thing imagine that God would come down and do what he did through Jesus. I mean, that's like the most excellent example of humility. So it's a great way for me to remember, hey, you know, if he could do it, I have no excuse.
Yeah. You know that passage in Philippians 2 where Paul says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, comfort from me, have this same attitude. He made himself, what's the word?
Nothing.
Nothing. What you say? He humbled himself. being obedient to death, death on a cross. I mean, the humility of being the creator of the world and coming here as a lower middle class person with no, you know, no fame, no glory. Wow. Dave.
I don't think I would have made it in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
I just don't think I would have made it. So I'm glad Jesus came so I don't have to.
Yes.
I
mean,
the camp for a week.
You know, the law of sin and death. Yes. Way back there, Angie. Okay. No love, worship, Dominic.
When I think about the cross, about Jesus, I just think that because of his death, I have now a personal relationship with God.
Yeah.
I can come into the most holy of holies, one on one.
Yeah.
And that is everything.
Yeah, that is the whole point of the, a lot of the point of the Hebrew letter. Like, don't go back to Judaism, we have it so much better. But, you know, David, Abraham, they were close to God. Abraham's called a friend of God, but we have a different kind of relationship. In the New Testament, we call God Father, and it's through Jesus. Amber, and then, go ahead.
It feels like a disconnect.
Okay, all right, Roy?
We came down, so we have a strengthen our relationship with God.
Yes, strengthen our relationship with God. Two, three more. Yes, why else? Yes.
Robin.
Opportunity to continue God's story, Linda.
Kind of like a groundhog day. So every day we have a new dream.
Yeah. I mean, that's a funny movie. He keeps making the same mistakes or stuff, but there's a sense in which, you know, we do wake up to a new day, new opportunity, don't you?
I think for me, confirms the depth of God's love.
Yeah. You know, as Paul in Ephesians talks about, we're saved by grace through faith, and then he goes on in chapter 2 and talks about, particularly Jew Gentile become one. But then chapter 3, he says, you know, he prays that we can understand the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of the love of God in Christ Jesus. It's just a love that is—it's just incomprehensible. But we know it more when we think about His coming and then the cross. Elizabeth,
I now get the opportunity to help other people to find salvation.
Sure.
Otherwise, other people other than me and my family will stay lost.
Yeah. It's an opportunity, you know, to make a difference in this world for us. I mean, not just helping people. There are a lot of ways to help people that are very, very important. Many of you are in roles in your professions where you're serving and helping people. But the ultimate way we can make a difference is helping people know about this. Grace.
I think, like, not this far off God. He's not far off God, but he cares. He meets us more than ever. You know, he cares.
Yeah. You see, the compassion just as it coming, the compassion and the, so many things. Jesus wept. The compassion and how he lived. Richard?
Yeah, I think like unconditional love. And what I mean is like, no matter how we look, like what, however amount of money we make, education, anything like that, just to know the love is still there. And
yeah.
It's not determined by anything that we do, look, or background or anything like that. It's incredible.
Okay. Amen. Couple more. So somebody over here, your head now. I don't know. I think. What else comes to mind? Yes, Laurie.
He knew how hard it would be, but he still did it.
Yeah. It's just, you know, the paradox. The Bible's full of paradoxes sometimes, you know, where two things kind of seem opposite, but they do fit together. Mm-hmm. And Jesus coming to bring us an abundant life to the full, John 10. But coming to show us the reality, I just think, you know, when you look at Jesus in the garden, what were his feelings and emotions saying? I don't want to do this. There's got to be another way. And he fought through, wrestled with himself and God until he got to the perspective, Hebrews 12, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And, you know, that's an example to us. I mean, I think life is great, but it's got its moments sometimes. And that example of again, you know, the Hebrew writer says, look, it's kind of a, it's from the Holy Spirit, but it's kind of a put down in a way. You've not resisted yet to the point of shedding your blood. In other words, it's not that bad yet. You haven't done what Jesus did yet. And so he says, fix your eyes on him, you know. A couple of more before we take communion. Yes, Scott.
We talk a lot about the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross, but we don't always think about the sacrifice he made just to come down to the first
exactly.
place.
Yeah.
Jesus is God, and God is as above me as I am above, like a paraphernalia, you know.
Yeah.
The idea that I would want to have a relationship with a paraphernalia and want to die as a paraphernalia, you know.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, but that's how much he cares about this.
Yeah. So many examples. It's just hard to think of. I like that analogy. It's hard to think of the fact that the Creator would become part of the creation, but in such a humble way, in such a self-denying way, and in such an unfair way. And you look at his life, even the things that leading up to the cross, you know, when I study the cross with people, you know, I'm impressed with the physical things, and a lot of us, we've read that account where a doctor, you know, years ago tried to show the physical things that were happening on the cross. And I kind of used to think, and this was really arrogant when I think about it, why isn't it in the Bible? Because that's so moving. And okay, well, they knew about crucifixions, but I thought, you know, what is in the Bible is almost more moving to me. When I think about the emotional things that Jesus went through lifelong, and especially the last week in his life. How do you and I feel when things aren't fair toward us? How do we feel when we're accused unjustly, particularly when we can easily make it right? How do we feel when we're misunderstood, not by somebody out there, but by the people closest to us? He took his three best friends to the garden. Why? I think, to be an example, yeah, I think more than that. Why else could he have taken them? Some support and encouragement. And what did they do? They went to sleep. I mean, he's going to Jerusalem and he says, I'm going to Jerusalem. They're going to kill me. You know what the next thing is? They ask him, okay, now who's going to be the greatest among us? I mean, totally oblivious to what it took so long for them to figure out who he really was. Why? I'm just saying all that to say, if he was tempted in every way as we, this had to be hard. When they're spitting at him, when they're making fun of him, when Peter says they hurled their insults at him and didn't retaliate. I know how hard that is. When people are insulting me, I want to talk back. Especially when it's not fair and not right and not true. And I'm saying that what Scott, his coming into the world, just at every point, it had to be challenging. Aren't you grateful we don't know the future? Yes. Boy, I am. Oh my goodness. I'm grateful we can live by faith and not sight, because we can't see beyond right. I mean, I'm grateful I didn't know what was going to happen in 2019. Some of the things. I'm grateful, I'm sure I'm not going to happen. Yeah, I don't know some of the things that happened in 2020. I'm not. He did know. He knew. I'm not. I don't think that was a blessing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He had to anticipate all these things that were going to happen. No wonder he had to go pray all night pretty regularly. I'm just saying his whole life was lived for us. Mm-hmm. Culminating on the cross. And as we take communion over in chapter 3, you know, probably besides the 23rd Psalm, the most familiar passage in all the Bible, probably 23rd Psalm in the Old Testament and this in the New Testament, where Nicodemus has been to see Jesus, doesn't quite understand. Jesus gives us profound teaching about being born again. And then it says, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Such a profound statement. We've heard it even, you know, before many of us, before necessarily we were true Christians. We heard this, we understood this concept, hope, I don't know if we'll ever understand the concept though. God's love, Jesus' love, the ultimate reason he gave came. You know, when the angels announced him, he will save his people from their sins. And that's us. His people meaning not just the Jewish people, but mankind. One of the, you know, beautiful Christmas carol, I wonder where I wander, he was born for to die. He came, you know, to pay our price. So many things we could say about it. He came to be the sacrifice for us. And that's why we, you know, that's why we take communion every Sunday, because it is easy to forget. It is easy to take it for granted. It is easy to get caught up in the routine of life or even in the good habits of life. And we stop and say, wow, thank you for dying for us. Thank you for coming, for giving your life. Thank you for continuing that life of self-denial, for going to the cross, so that we can be here today, forgiven, whatever kind of week it was. We get, like what Linda said, we get a do-over every day. We say, God, forgive me for yesterday. And he said, well, you asked me last night, what are you talking about? I mean, that's, I don't get that concept either. And it's not to be taken for granted, obviously, but the cross means so much. I'll pray and we'll take the bread and take the cup and sing another song and then have some instructions and enjoy some time together. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time of the year when the world does think about Jesus. Father, as we are disciples of him and really wanting to follow him and be committed to him, thank you for this time to remember what he did and what you did. Thank you that he became flesh. Thank you that he gave himself. Thank you that you loved us so much to give your son for us. We are grateful. Thank you that we can take this bread and take the cup and renew our commitment to you for this coming week in gratitude and appreciation and self-examination. And thank you for this time to remember. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.